TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's news talk radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is just after 9 p.m. Eastern time here on the East Coast of the United States on Wednesday night. And you know what day and time it is wherever you're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. We have such great guests on this show, and we're welcoming back a great guest who I enjoy talking to so much, because it's all about media, and there's nothing I love than telling the truth about and exposing the media, and that's what his great website does. It's Adam Gallette, president of Accuracy in Media. Could there be a better name? And you could check them out at AIM.org. Adam, welcome aboard, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back. Glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. So there's so many. I was going to start with Don Lemon, but something happened tonight or today that I wanted to start with first. And I played this soundbite a couple of days ago, I guess. This was an interview that Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC/NBC News did with Kamala Harris. And it's the question, not Kamala Harris's answer necessarily, but it's the question from Andrea Mitchell that really caught the eye of the DeSantis people, and it really has ticked them off. So let's listen to how she phrased this question, and then we'll explain to the audience what has transpired today. Here's cut 160.
Let me ask you, what does Governor Ron DeSantis not know about black history and the black experience when he says that slavery and the aftermath of slavery should not be taught to Florida school children?
I don't know what he knows and what he doesn't know.
Okay. Now, that's a lie. Ron DeSantis never said that. And what he objected to was the 1619 Project and an AP course that talked about gay issues and other, CRT issues. So I'm reading from Brian Griffin earlier today, shortly after 1 p.m. He is the press secretary for DeSantis. And he says to all of the bookers and producers reaching out to our office from NBC News, MSNBC, Governor Ron DeSantis to join our show, this is our response. I think we need to take a step back. There will be no consideration of anything related to NBC Universal or its affiliates until at least Andrea Mitchell corrects the blatant lie she made about the governor. And so in response, here's what Andrea Mitchell said today at the end of her show on MSNBC, cut 205.
And a postscript. In my interview last Friday with Vice President Harris, I was imprecise in summarizing Governor DeSantis' position about teaching slavery in schools. Governor DeSantis is not opposed to teaching the fact of slavery in schools, but he has opposed the teaching of an African-American studies curriculum, as well as the use of some authors and source materials that historians and teachers say makes it all but impossible for students to understand the broader historic and political context behind slavery and its aftermath in the years since.
All right. Doesn't sound like an apology to me. I don't know how that's going to fly with DeSantis. What do you make of all this?
It's morally outrageous on so many levels. First off, I am outraged with the way that Marxists and radical leftists like her now are using essentially African-American history almost as a human shield. In many ways, it's like after the fall of the Soviet Union, when communists went and hid in the environmental movement and used that as the way to push their ideas. Mikhail Gorbachev created the Green Cross, for example. They're doing the same thing now with African-American history. That AP African-American history course that DeSantis rejected didn't focus on African-American history. Instead, it focused on teaching Marxism. He responded by saying, I want an African-American history course. It's just that I want one that teaches African-American history. So for her to take a lie or to create a lie like that, so far removed from the truth, here's a guy who actually wants African-American history courses to teach African-American history. And for her to spin it in such a way where she claims he doesn't want slavery to be taught. It's morally outrageous. You know, people tune into that channel and think that they're informed. But ironically or hypocritically, the more you watch this MSNBC garbage, the less informed you really are.
Yeah, and even in her quote-unquote apology or explanation, as I prefer to call it, she had to qualify it at the end to basically make her case that in some way he still doesn't want, or there are those who still accuse him of not wanting, the aftermath of slavery and slavery to be taught. So I don't know what the response from the DeSantis people are going to be, but you know what? Why would you want to go? That's what I don't understand. I know Chris Licht at CNN actually made a pilgrimage to Capitol Hill in an effort to get Republicans to come on CNN and tell them they'll be treated fairly. And more have come on. And I don't think they're sometimes they are, but not often treated fairly. But why would Ron DeSantis ever want to go on MSNBC anyway?
He shouldn't, because it's not an outlet of journalism. It's an outlet of activists preaching fan fiction to the choir. They simply tell their audience what that audience wants to hear, even if they know it not to be true. As I said, when you tune in, rather than being informed, you come away less informed than you were before you watched their programs. You know, what she was alluding to was the 1619 Project. DeSantis doesn't want the 1619 Project taught as fact in schools. Even leftist historians take major issues with the 1619 Project. But as we've learned from our hidden camera and investigation with Accuracy in Media, they still push the 1619 Project, even in states where it's illegal to teach it. They use a classroom news service called Newzella, which partners with the Southern Poverty Law Center, Howard Zinn, and even the 1619 Project, and they teach the exact same content, but with a different masthead. It says Newzella instead of 1619 Project to trick the parents. It's outrageous. That's the story, Adam, she should be reporting on.
Not to interrupt. Sorry. How many times have we heard the company line from this media that CRT is only, it's not taught in schools. It's only taught in certain law schools, wherever they came up with that wild explanation. Of course, that's garbage.
Well, it's like many things she says. It's like when she says she was imprecise. That's a half-truth. You weren't imprecise. You were lying. Similarly, no, they're not teaching the official law school version of critical race theory in elementary schools. That is true. They're teaching all of the principles associated with critical race theory. They brag to us in hidden cameras about how they're teaching about systemic racism, white privilege, the notion that capitalism is inherently racist. They're openly admitting to us with hidden cameras that they teach those things. But no, that's true. They're not teaching the law school version of critical race theory. I guess that's a quarter truth, I guess.
And by the way, everybody should, as I said, check out Accuracy in Media, AIM.org, because there's all kinds of great stuff. The undercover investigations and Adam doing some interviews I think last time we played some of them, you were on around Capitol Hill, and there's all kinds of great stuff on that website. But let's move on, Adam, to the whole Don Lemon saga. For those who don't know, Nikki Haley running for president, former governor of South Carolina, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, said that she wants a cognitive test for politicians over 75, which would include Joe Biden and, of course, Donald Trump. And in response to that, I mean, the media has gone nuts, but Don Lemon is what we're talking about in particular here. This is what he said last Wednesday, I believe, might have been Thursday, on CNN during his morning show, which really nobody watches. As a matter of fact, the ratings for yesterday, from what I saw online, it didn't even break 400,000, which I think that's the first time I've ever seen that. But anyway, here's what he said that stirred everything up. Here's 138.
This whole talk about age makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you
that's not according to me.
Prime so for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not
decade.
Saying I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that. Well, you know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing, or are you talking about
the message
prime
I'm just
for being
saying
president?
What the facts are. Google it.
I mean, to me, Adam, this just shows how stupid a man, I mean, literally dumb he is. He was given an out. He has to realize when he's saying in her prime, the question from Poppy Harlow, well, what do you mean? Qualify it? You talking about childbirth? I mean, obviously, it's got to mean it's got to be limited in scope. I like, what are you talking about? What are you claiming? Not in her prime for what? And he couldn't understand that. You're right. Here's maybe I should look at it further. Or you're right. Yeah. Childbirth or something. Say something. Instead, he just made it sound like it was nope. That's what it says. Not in her prime. It just shows to me more than sexist that he's stupid.
This is a guy with a smaller audience than my bar mitzvah. So he's going to try all kinds of stunts. It's going to get worse before it gets better. He's going to increasingly say outlandish, controversial, ridiculous things, because how else is he going to get you and I to talk about him? How else is he going to get coverage on networks that actually have listeners, that actually have viewers? It reeks of desperation. And frankly, it's sad.
Oh, it's sad. All right. So he was away for a couple of days. And guess where he went? Guess where Mr. You know, don't say gay and don't teach CRT, anti-black governor lives. He went to Florida with his boyfriend and they were on the beach. And then he apologized at a CNN conference call. Still, the stories were nobody wants him back. And then he was made, they said he's going to have to undergo sensitivity training, but he was back. He was back this morning. I was a little surprised that he was back so soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad, pathetic situation because we've all always had issues with CNN. It's always been a left-wing outfit, but at least you used to be able to take it seriously. Now they're in a position where there's nothing they can really do to save the network. They're not going to be able to get the left-wing audience because you really can't outflank MSNBC on the left. You can't do it. They're not going to be able to get a right-wing audience. There's no chance of that. They lost all credibility there. And in all honesty, there aren't that many folks in the middle watching cable news day in, day out. So if you can't get the left, you can't get the right, nobody in the middle has any use for you. What are you going to do? Well, I guess then you just make desperate, sad, and pathetic remarks in the hopes of getting some controversy, some attention. It is a shame.
Yeah. And I'm sure you remember when he wore the hoodie under the suit jacket and then compared himself to Trayvon Martin, Barack Obama, and President Zelensky. One of the most bizarre things I've ever seen and heard. All right, one more for you. And this is on MSNBC again. It's a guy named Wajhat Ali. And he is trashing on a panel Nikki Haley, as the media has, including Ann Coulter, by the way, but mostly people on the left, obviously, using race. And here it is, cut 203. We're skipping 206, so we're going to 203.
To quote Zora Neale Hurston, not all skin folk are kinfolk. Nikki Haley instead is the Dinesh D'Souza of Candace Owens. She's the alpha Karen with brown skin. And for white supremacists and racists, she's the perfect Manchurian candidate. And instead of applauding her, I am just disgusted by people like Nikki Haley who know better. I see her and I feel sad, Mehdi, because she uses her brown skin as a weapon against poor black folks and poor brown folks. And she uses her brown skin to launder white supremacist talking points.
What the hell are these people talking about?
I want to hope in my heart that he doesn't believe the words that he's saying and that he's just pandering to woke progressives who just finished up their double major in multiple worthless liberal arts degrees. Because just the notion of somebody having to live in a world where they view everything through such a lens of race, and they view it as your identity is entirely defined by your skin color. That is sickening. It's dehumanizing. It's also a reminder of that's who progressives are. These were the people who believed in eugenics before Hitler made it uncool. These people would believe in all kinds of horrible ideas still today, if not for the fact that they were associated with Hitler. These are people who are so focused on dehumanizing and crushing individualism, individual rights. It's depressing. It's a miserable, hateful, angry existence. So I just want to believe that he doesn't believe the things that he's saying and that he's merely pandering to dopes in the audience, because it would be sad to believe that someone could really think those things.
Well, here is a shock of shockers. I just want you to hear this. This was on CNN. This is Jake Tapper. First, it's Paul Begala, and then Jake Tapper talking about the verbal abuse that Nikki Haley is taking from mostly the liberal media. Here is cut 202.
I think the fact that she got to be the governor of South Carolina with brown skin is a very impressive accomplishment, and I don't think it's something people ought to be attacking or ridiculing her about. Let's just take her based on her ideas. And I might not like them as a Democrat. Republicans might, but I think it's a terrible thing to say about her.
You see some people on the left noting that Nikki is not her original first name. I think it's her middle name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like basically suggesting that she, I mean, it's not true. And these are the same people who objected to whenever Republicans would say Barack Hussein Obama. There is a very ugly side of the left that comes out when Nikki Haley runs for office.
A very ugly side of the left that comes out. This is from Jake Tapper.
You know, what I take away and get so outraged by from that is when he talks about how it was impressive that she was able to win in South Carolina. As if, oh, yeah, those bumpkins from South Carolina, I can't believe they voted for somebody not based on their skin color, but instead based on ideology. That's shocking. It is so obnoxiously condescending and insulting that they assume that anybody who's from further south than the Lower East Side must be a horrible racist. It is morally outrageous. It's ridiculous. It shows how little time they spend outside their bubble. And it shows, again, how much they dehumanize people and hate individualism and how race-obsessed they really are.
Adam Gillette, President, Accuracy in Media, AIM.org. I thank you, as always, my friend, for your time. A great segment. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Take care, Adam. All right, folks, there you go. And do check out Accuracy in Media. It's well worth your time to do so. Interesting, right? I mean, these cuts, if I tried to make them up, if I tried to tell people what to say, you know, if I wanted to put words in people's mouths and get this, couldn't do it as well as they come up with it on their own. Now, before we get to break, I do want to play Megyn Kelly, former Fox, of course. Now she, and then NBC, and now she has her show on Sirius XM. She really, really is outraged that Don Lemon is back, that he's not been fired. See, I disagree. Again, I saying a woman is past her prime, you know, at 51 or whatever. That's what you want to give him, the death penalty? I mean, my God, he's a moron. He's an imbecile. He's mentally deficient when it comes to smarts. Let's phrase it that way. Obviously, the blanket statement he made regarding Prime makes no sense on its face. Because what do you mean? Prime for what? And he couldn't grasp that. But to say he's always a sexist, he's a misogynist, we got to get rid of him. Enough. Really, enough. And Megyn Kelly, you know, I'm a little shocked that she's pulling for that. And here she is. This is cut. This will be the one we didn't play, 206.
Here's a question I have for him. Do women matter? Do we matter? Because it shouldn't have to be that you were raped by a man or 21 women come forward alleging that they'd been sexually harassed by a man or they'd been inappropriately touched by a man for their offense to matter. Because we have seen person after person get fired because they caused offense, mere offense, when it comes to race, when it comes to sexual orientation, when it comes to gender identity. Does women's offense matter? Does it matter? Because this guy managed to piss off half the country. And it's not left or right, it's male or female. And by the way, a lot of the men are with us. You don't have to be a Me Too supporter to be irritated and offended by what Don Lemon said. This one's not breaking down along partisan lines.
I doubt that half the country, and by the way, we're going to play 207 in a second. I doubt that half the country is outraged. In other words, she's saying that every woman is outraged. First of all, how many women do you think know what Don Lemon said? Okay, How many people watch CNN? Yeah, they might watch The View, some of them. But really, how many, the 300,000 that heard Don Lemon say it on CNN, and then the, you know, few more million, maybe, I don't think it's out, maybe one more million on The View, whatever. That's half the country. Half the country doesn't know he said it. So calm down, Megan. And again, what you should be saying is, and she's talking to Chris Licht. Chris Licht, that she's, when she says, I want to ask him a question, that's who she's addressing in absentia, the head of CNN. Okay. And instead of saying, well, if you get let go for offending this group, well, then you should get let go for offending every group. Instead, she should be saying, good. Maybe now CNN won't fire anybody for offending a group. But she's taking it the other way. And here's the next one. Cut 207.
This is about decency. Do women matter? Does our offense matter to CNN? Or does someone have to grab a boob for us to count, Chris Licht? That's my question to you. Because Don Lemon's re-education camp is a farce. It's a lie, and we know it. We know it. No one's fooled by your stupid fig leaf, Mr. Licht. So do something real. Prove to us that you actually see this guy's got a repeated problem with women. He's a sexist. How are you going to let him cover Nikki Haley? How is he going to cover anybody? How is he going to cover Kamala Harris? He doesn't respect women. He doesn't respect the two women he sits at the anchor desk with. And for them to continue tolerating him makes them part of the problem.
Well, maybe they should quit. Are you going to then pay them their salaries that they're currently making? I mean, that's ridiculous. And again, he has a problem with women. He's a sexist. So how is he going to cover, you know, Nikki Haley or Kamala Harris or anybody because he's got a problem with women? Really? How does any liberal cover any Republican? What is this, new to media? Give me a break. Come on. Enough. Stop with the outrage. Stop it. I mean, you know, Megyn Kelly, don't forget, during a debate, Donald Trump, after the fact, was it after the fact? Was it at the debate? I think it was at the debate when he said that Kelly had blood coming out of her eyes and blood coming out of her. And then he stopped. And so that was directed at Megyn Kelly by Donald Trump. So maybe she's got a little lingering effect from that attack on her. And now she's trying to take it out on Lemon. I don't know. But chill, Megan. Count your money. Look at your kids. Take a deep breath and chill. All right. I think that's the first time I ever said chill to anybody. I don't mean because of the word. I just mean the advice. All right. Steve Malzberg, we're here on TNT Radio, and we're coming right back. Do not go away.
You should hear what Hervoy Morich is talking about.
Elon Musk tweeted out yesterday that they had a long day at Twitter HQ addressing two problems, and that basically Twitter accounts were being throttled due to the number of blocks rather than percentage being a factor in the recommendation algorithm. And someone created a chart, and it shows the people who block the most on Twitter are Democratic women, like left progressive women. Those that block the least are Republican men. Well, I guess you can translate that as conservative men. And my own personal experience testifies to this. I don't think I've ever blocked anyone on Twitter as a conservative male. I've had two left progressive Democratic women block me. For no reason. Alison McDowell, who was a guest on my podcast, who's no longer on Twitter. And Lisa Pease, the left progressive JFK researcher, who does great work, who I had invited on my program, but she just ended up blocking me. And the data is out. So the Democratic women most likely to block friends because of political views on Twitter.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Action Against Hunger is the world's hunger specialist, with the highest 4-star rating from Charity Navigator, and 93% of every dollar donated going directly to our humanitarian programs. Active and on the ground since 1979, innovating, advocating, empowering, and saving lives in over 45 countries. Nearly 95% of our staff serve in their home countries, braving conflict and difficult terrain to help 20 million strong, resilient people overcome unthinkable circumstances. From South Sudan to Yemen, From Somalia to Bangladesh, Action Against Hunger gets to hard-to-reach communities, providing aid where others cannot. Our teams are on call 24 hours a day and ready to get life-saving help into the field. The need is acute. 16 million children suffer from the most severe form of hunger. 2 million a year lose the fight to deadly hunger. And more than 5,000 children still die every day from hunger-related causes. There's a need to scale up, and a need for individuals and partners to support innovative programs around the globe. With your help, Action Against Hunger can train and mobilize even more local field teams. With your help, we aim to double the number of children receiving treatment for life-threatening malnutrition. With your help, we can keep saving lives. The world needs a better way to deal with hunger. Together, we're creating it for everyone, for good. Join us. Take action against hunger.
Visit actionagainsthunger.org. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. So Joe Biden was in Poland, of course, after Ukraine. And you've heard me play on this show Biden saying, I was raised in the black church. No joke. You know, I helped to segregate churches. You've heard him say, I used to go to the synagogue all the time. I was raised in the synagogue. And you've heard him say, I was raised in the Puerto Rican community. This man is out of control. So he's in Poland, and guess what he said? Guess where he was raised? Guess who he considers himself to be? If you said Polish, you've got it. Here's cut 201.
The connection between Polish and Polish and American people is extremely strong and deep. I was kidding with the president. I was, as a young man, I was born in a coal town of Scranton, Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania, in an Irish Catholic neighborhood. Then when coal died, we moved down to Delaware, to a town called Claymont, Delaware, which was a working class town. But everybody in town was either Polish or Italian. I grew up feeling self-conscious. My name didn't end in an SKI or an O. But all kidding aside.
Oh, gosh. Enough. Now, the real sad part is that Joe Biden fell down again, this time, well, this is the second time, walking up the steps to Air Force One. I believe he was leaving Poland. He fell. Now, he picked himself right up, you know, and didn't miss a beat and made it up, but he fell. This is at least the second time that we know of for sure that we've seen on video that he's fallen down, walking up the steps to Air Force One. Doesn't he have a family? Doesn't Dr. Jill give a damn about this man? You know where she is? She's in Africa. Who knows? Maybe she's with the vice president's husband. You saw them give a kiss on the mouth to each other during the State of the Union, before the State of the Union, didn't you? It was talked about a lot. Maybe they snuck off to Africa together. Who knows? But this guy, now they're starting to say, the reports started coming out today, he may not run. He may not run. How could he run? How could he run? He'll be 82. He'd be 86 if he made it through a second term. Are you kidding me? The guy acts now like he's 90. Oh, I know. What are you talking about? He's full of vim and vigor. Yeah, vim and vigor. Doesn't know where he is, doesn't know what he's saying, and walks like he's, God bless him, walks like he's, you know, in his 80s. But he you know, someone should be on either side of him when he's walking up those steps. He could fall down and break his neck. I don't get the whole thing. I really don't get it anymore. I mean, I know they don't want Kamala to be president. And you know what? That's a good thing. That's really a good thing. I don't want to hear her, her first speech as president talking about electric school buses. Do you? Or Venn diagrams. I just love Venn diagrams. You know, the circles. I just love them. Oh, God. How did we get here? Really? How did we get here? So that's Biden. And then you have Joe and Little Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough. They're married. She left her husband. And again, I got to find out if he left his wife or he was already gone from his wife. But when Joe and Mika started broadcasting together, I know they were both married to different people. And she was married up until, you know, fairly recent when she left her husband and then married Joe. But her brother is the U.S. ambassador to Poland. And you could do no wrong if you're Joe Biden, according to Mika and Joe, because her brother works for Joe and his brother-in-law works for Joe. I've said this over and over again. Now, I got a very short 7-second clip here of Joe starting to praise. Joe Scarborough starting to praise Joe Biden. And little Mika, as I always say, she usually like makes an yeah. Ooh. Well, she actually says two words, and you're gonna love them. Here's cut number 208.
What an inspiring day! What an inspiring few days!
My gosh!
If that's a word, it's three words. My gosh! And you should have seen her face, like she saw God. I'm telling you, oh, Joe Biden, what an inspiration. Oh, my gosh. My brother's boss is wonderful. It's such a you-know-what show. It really is. It really is. I'm telling you, I always say it. There should be a little disclaimer. Mika's brother works for Joe Biden. Joe's brother-in-law works for Joe Biden. No disclaimer. No disclaimer. And here's more from Joe. Just oozing, quelling, if you will, about Joe Biden. Cut 209.
When I saw Joe Biden walking through Kyiv, I was left, and I'm sure our panelists will agree with this. I drew immediate parallels to JFK in Berlin, Reagan at the Brandenburg Gate saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Of course, the danger was far greater for Joe Biden because he's the first president since Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War to go to basically a front line without American troops supporting and dominating that area. And then yesterday, the speech in Warsaw, and it was just remarkable.
Oh, he's just speechless. It was, yes, Reagan-esque and oh, please, 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 please. The guy can't walk up the steps. The guy thinks his son died in Iraq. The guy thinks he was brought up Polish. I mean, enough. My goodness. Oh, and no. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I've never seen anything like it. He's superhuman. He's a deity. Oh, my gosh. Please. It really is sickening. All right. Now, we may get back to Ukraine in a little while, but I do want to turn to this. You know, you've heard a lot about the grand jury that was convened in Georgia to decide whether indictments were warranted, whether crimes were committed when Donald Trump, they say, as the news media says, tried to overturn the election in Georgia, the results in 2020, and whether or not any of the witnesses that testified before that grand jury committed perjury. Okay. So the grand jury, you know, broke up. and you heard all kinds of rumors and, oh, yeah, they recommended indictments and, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, the media is licking their chops. They're salivating. They're, you know, that's a, oh, my gosh, moment. And now you have this jury, the forewoman of the jury. Have you seen this one? Oh, my God. They say she's kind of a, she's into what's the proper terminology? Witchery, like a witch. But she's goofy. She's like a kid. And she's going on every show that'll have her. And on CNN, they had one law expert say that the prosecutors in Georgia, they must be pulling their hair out of their heads because this could hinder their case. This gives Trump's people the legal standing to say all charges, if there are any, need to be dropped because of what this woman is doing now. She's going around talking about what happened in the grand jury. I've never seen anything like it. And nobody knows yet. Like, nothing's been announced. And she's out there telling the world. It's really freaky. And when I play this for you, understand that this was this woman was the foreperson, the foreman, the forewoman, whatever, of the grand jury that could indict the former president of the United States, that could result in charges, that could put him in jail, that could prevent him from running. And when you hear her, you'll say, oh, my God. So let's play. She was asked, where was she? She was on NBC. You'll get a little question and you'll get her short answer here, but it speaks volumes. So you got to hear it. Here's cut 2:10.
Did you personally want to hear from the former president?
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, do you solemnly swear? And me getting to swear him in. I kind of thought that would be an awesome moment.
Yeah, she thought it would be awesome. Just awesome to call the president, the former president. And I get to swear him in. I think that'd be just great. It'd be awesome for me to swear him in. Wouldn't it be awesome? Oh, my God. Oh, now she has also said that she hopes that there are charges brought against Trump. She's rooting for charges against Trump. Now, here's one more cut from her. Here's 2:11.
I can see how trying to get the former president to come talk to us would have been a year in negotiation by itself.
So it sounds like that was ultimately a battle that you all decided not to wage.
Exactly. That's kind of how it ended up, was that. And I'd be fascinated by what he said, but do you think he would have come in and said anything groundbreaking, or just the same kind of thing we've heard? So at some point, you don't need to hear 50 people say the same thing. You know what I mean? At some point, you kind of start to get the gist.
Well, it's awesome. Oh, but I mean, you know, was she chewing gum and blowing bubbles? I mean, what the hell is this? What is going on? Well, I mean, this is her 5 minutes of fame. Better watch it. She'll put a spell on you. Oh, my goodness. Really? I mean, I just don't know what to say. All I hope is that if, God forbid, one day I'm ever accused of anything falsely and there's a jury, that I don't have a ditz head like this in charge of my fate. Can you imagine? Now, this was a grand jury, not a jury, but still. And they actually, I don't know who else was on this grand jury, but understand, they voted for her to be the forewoman of the jury. Now, what does that say about the rest of the jury? It means you don't even want to see them. You don't even want to hear them. You don't want to know them. Oh, my God. What a mess. Everything in this country is such a mess. And at the same time, we're you know, praying there's no World War III. What could I say? All right, we're going to come back. We have one final segment left in the hour right here. Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Heartland is holding their 15th climate conference at Lake Buena Vista, Florida over the next several days. I'll be down there presenting, and so will Mark Morano. And of course, he's of fame and fortune because of the Morano Minute, which you hear here all the time on TNT. But I'm going to be looking at this aspect of underwater geothermal activity that I believe is heating the oceans. And believe it or not, since I started bringing this up, there have been some geologists that have come forward and say, you know, we don't have enough research on this, but it appears that there is something going on. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on, but my observations as a meteorologist looking at the warm-up of the ocean over the last 30 years indicate to me that something is causing the oceans to warm more rapidly. And sure enough, there's been an increase in seismic activity over the past 30 years. So I'll keep you informed as to what goes on. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
For many people with debt problems, the first time they can sleep without worry is when they've talked to us. At Step Change Debt Charity, our free advice helps thousands of people every week get their finances back on track. If you need help, contact us and take the first step to a debt-free future. Step Change Debt Charity. Free debt advice. Life-changing debt solutions.
Visit stepchange.org to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. By the way, if you want to see Joe Biden falling or, you know, falling down while walking up the steps, I posted it on my Twitter at Steve M Talk, at Steve M Talk, at Steve M. Oh, did I mention at Steve M Talk? And you could go to my Facebook account, Steve M Talk, and also the website. You could see, get all the episodes. You could download them or listen to them of all my shows here at stevemtalk.com. So check it all out, please. Okay. So I want to get back to Ukraine a little bit, and I want to get back to Ron DeSantis, you got to believe it's just a matter of time before he announces that he's going to run. I believe that. So here he is talking on Fox the other day about Joe Biden going to Ukraine and the situation in Ukraine. Here is 186.
I don't think any of this would have happened, but for the weakness that the president showed during his first year in office, culminating, of course, in the disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan. So I think while he's over there, I think I and many Americans are thinking to ourselves, okay, he's very concerned about those borders halfway around the world. He's not done anything to secure our own border here at home. We've had millions and millions of people pour in, tens of thousands of Americans dead because of fentanyl. And then, of course, we just suffered a national humiliation of having China fly a spy balloon clear across the continental United States. So we have a lot of problems accumulating here in our own country that he is neglecting.
Yeah, you think so? Absolutely. Oh, those poor people in Ohio. Oh, those poor people. Here's one more from the governor. Governor, here's cut 187.
Well, they have effectively a blank check policy with no clear strategic objective identified. And these things can escalate. And I don't think it's in our interest to be getting into proxy war with China getting involved over things like the borderlands or over Crimea. So I think it would behoove them to identify what is the strategic objective that they're trying to achieve. But just saying it's an open-ended blank check, that is not acceptable.
Okay, I couldn't agree with him more, and I'd like to believe more and more Republicans are chiming in to that same mindset, and I hope it's true. I hope it's true. You cannot just give, but not only not forget the blank check, forget the money. That's one big issue, but you know, telling China they better not do this, they better not do that, or we could have World War III. What is that? I'll ask that till forever. What are you doing? I mean, are we looking for a war? Are we daring them? What would we do if China gives more lethal weapons or lethal weapons, whatever, to Russia? What would we do? We're going to send troops? Are you kidding? All right. So Lindsey Graham, who is one of those war hawks, Lindsey Graham, who is one of those, you know, Ukraine forever, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, people, I'm sorry to say. And he was on ABC this week, this past Sunday. It was a while ago already. And here's what he had to say about our situation with Ukraine and the whole situation. Cut 188.
A year ago, everybody here was in denial. I was preaching as loud as I could. Putin really means it. Here's the good news. I've never seen NATO so united. The Germans have stepped up to the plate. There's bipartisan support for winning this war in Ukraine, for giving the Ukrainians the weapons they need to defend themselves. I'm not worried about provoking Putin. I want to beat him. And how do you beat him? You beat him by giving the Ukrainians the military capability to drive the Russians out of Ukraine. You label Putin's Russia as a state sponsor of terrorism. You create international tribunals so we actually can try Putin and his cronies in an international court like we did after World War II. Don't worry about provoking Putin. Worry about beating him. And I've never been more optimistic about winning this war in Ukraine than I am right now. I see solidarity across the aisle in America and across the seas.
Wow. It's a little scary, isn't it? He's not worried about provoking Putin. Nah, he's worried about beating him. We have to beat Putin. We're going to beat Putin. I'm sorry. I just don't see Putin giving up and waving the white flag. I just don't see it before he would do something outrageously provocative, dumb, stupid, like firing something at a NATO country and then all bets are off and there's World War III. I just don't understand why we think Putin would be rational. It just makes no sense. Here's one more from Lindsey Graham, 189.
To forgive and forget would be allowing Putin to commit major war crimes on an industrial scale. It would send a signal to China that we're all talk. We're not going to defend Taiwan. What's at stake here is the rule of law, human decency, and world order. So here's what I believe. Once you call Russia being engaged in crimes against humanity, you have to have actions consistent with that statement. So I'm looking for this administration to follow up on that statement by designating Russia a state-sponsored terrorism under U.S. law. 100 senators urged the administration to do that. I'm also urging the administration to start F-16 training now for Ukrainian pilots. Don't worry about provoking Putin. Let's make sure we beat Putin in Ukraine, because he will not stop if we do not.
Boy, how many times has he said that? You want to say it again? You know, don't worry about provoking Putin. Worry about beating Putin. Look, folks. Again, is this it? This is the hill we want to, you know, go do the battle, and lay down the law and draw a red line and say this is where World War III starts if we don't get our way. Really? I don't think so. And I know that Americans would not feel that way. I just saw a Fox poll that showed that support overall is down, I think, to 49% for, I don't know what the question was, but it had to do with continued support, whether it was a blank check question or whether it was more weapons or whether it was continuous support without limits for Ukraine. The support has gone down, not for the fact that Ukraine is the good guy here, but that this just can't go on forever. And we can't be risking the future of the world on this. It's just nonsensical. You know, unless there's an agenda out there. And you know, there's no agenda out there. That just goes without saying. Now, back to Governor Ron DeSantis, who also was on Fox the other day and he's weighing in on crime. And, you know, let's not forget about crime, folks. Let's not forget about crime. I know every time you walk out on the street, especially in a city, in this country, a big city, you can't forget about crime. So here's a 196.
But I think what we've shown with how we've governed versus how these woke cities have governed is those woke approach to crime and law and order and being anti-police, those policies have failed. Florida's policies have succeeded. So we need everyone around the country to support the people that wear the uniform, to support policies that keep communities safe, and to abandon this woke nonsense like just releasing these criminals or electing prosecutors that don't follow the law.
Yeah. You think so? I mean, that's just, again, the hypocrisy of it all. We've been through this. You know my mantra, and I don't understand. I'm going to do my damnedest to try to get the Republicans, to pick this up. I don't understand why they don't. I don't get it. I just have absolutely no idea. Again, far from prosecutors who don't prosecute and or release criminals. What we need to do, especially when it comes to gun crime, to murders, to shootings in the cities, lock them up. I mean, we should, that would be perfect for a Trump rally, be perfect for a DeSantis rally, be perfect for a Nikki Haley rally. What do we do with people who use guns to commit crimes? Lock them up. Remember what he said about Hillary? What do we do with Hillary? Lock her up. Well, lock them up. And what do we do with people who shoot people in the commission of a crime? Lock them up longer. And what do we do with people who shoot a gun? And then the third one would be shoot people. And what's the key word that's missing from lock them up? Mandatory. How is that not a winning message throughout the nation? Oh, you'll be called racist because statistics show that although blacks represent 13% of the population, you're going to be locking up a bigger percentage. Well, too damn bad. I don't care what color they are. If they use a gun in the commission of a crime, if they fire a gun in the commission of a crime, if they shoot somebody in the commission of a crime, lock them up. Oh, no, can't do that. No. What we have to do is take guns away from law-abiding citizens. We need Congress to pass more restrictive laws on them. Oh, okay. I forgot. Sorry. It does make you wonder where the hell the Republicans are. But how many times could you say that? How many times could you take them to task? All right, I got one more. With all the nonsense and it'll be 162 in a second. 162. With all the insanity of Joe Biden and the misstatements and the lies and the false claims and the not knowing, who he's speaking to or not knowing where his son passed away and falling down, the whole thing, and whispering during speeches. On MSNBC, of course, what was their discussion the other day? And Elise Jordan of MSNBC, how Donald Trump could very well fall victim to dementia. That's right. 162.
If you think about Trump's diet over the course of his life, if you think about Trump's the way he's taking care of his body, if you could use those words, taking care and his body in the same sense, you think about the stress of the presidency, you think about his sleeping patterns, you think about all things we know. I mean, the fact that the guy made it out of 4 years in the presidency alive is an amazing thing. Like, I mean, if I had that diet, that lack of exercise and those sleeping habits, I'd be dead now. There is something to the notion that he does have some kind of extraordinary genes. It is the case that the Trump men historically and his family have lived to ripe old ages in general. So I don't want to give too much credit to Dr. Jackson. Obviously, the dude is a whack job on a lot of levels, but there is something kind of amazing about Donald Trump that he's still out there. He's still erect, that he's still upright, is like kind of an incredible thing.
Yeah. Didn't Fred Trump have really bad dementia at the end though?
Oh. Yeah, both of his parents lived to their 90s.
Didn't Donald Trump's brother Fred have really bad dementia at the end? Oh, with his diet and his sleeping habits. And how is he still alive? Now, Biden, on the other hand, he's a man's man. I mean, do you believe these people? Do you believe them? Help me. Okay, folks, thank you for listening. Tomorrow, we'll be back, God willing, same time, same place. Tell your friends and tell your enemies. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.